KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly sunny and 40 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Higher fuel prices may be applying the brakes to the economy in rural areas of 10 Midwestern and Plain states. A monthly survey index of rural bankers dropped to 57.1 in April from 59.8 in March. Organizers of the Rural Main Street Index survey say any score above 50 would suggest the economy will grow. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss said there are signs that the higher energy and fuel prices are slowing growth in agriculture-dependent areas. And he says slower global growth has harmed some rural areas that are dependent on agricultural sales. News time is 8:01.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Iowa Small Business Development Center recently elected Kathy Jordan of Council Bluffs as the newest member of its state advisory board. Jordan joins 2012 board chair Brian Brown, who's CEO and founder of Murphy Business and Financial of the Heartland Corporation in Cedar Rapids, and 2012 vice chair Jim Patton, governor of Rotary District 5970 in Rockwell City, along with 31 other board members who represent all regions of the state and many of the partners and associations that represent Iowa's business and industries. Jordan is the president and owner of Kathy's Coffees, doing business as Scooter's Coffee House, and she operates two of those coffee house franchises in Council Bluffs. She's currently the longest-standing franchise owner for the company and has over 20 years of management experience in the food service industry. As an Iowa Small Business Development Center State Advisory Board member, Jordan will provide insight and perspective to the successful business assistance organization. More than 100 Iowa homes were damaged and at least 14 were destroyed in last weekend's tornadoes and severe storms. Julie Rochman, president of the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, offers some advice for Iowans who have to rebuild following those storms. Rochman says science shows that we can make homes more resistant to strong winds, hail, and flying debris.
In the middle of the country, the building codes really do not incorporate provisions that will make your home really safe from high winds. The main thing you want to make sure is if you're building a new home or you're looking at how to make your current home safer, you need your roof to be held on by more than gravity. So strapping the roof to the walls to each other, and the walls to the foundation to create a continuous path of safety.
While we can't prevent tornadoes, she says we can reduce the level of damage and loss of life from those horrific storms.
First, it's important to understand that even the best engineering can be overwhelmed by an EF4 or EF5 tornado. But when it comes to EF0s, 1s, and 2s, we really can't eliminate that kind of damage, which comes from debris in the storm breaking windows, the gusty winds tearing off a piece or all of the roof. Those types of things can be prevented.
When rebuilding, she says it's a good idea to look at the cost benefits of making the structure more wind resistant, adding that it doesn't cost much more. Rochman, a Nebraska native, says storm shelters serve an important purpose.
It used to be that everybody had a safe place, a basement or a root cellar, someplace they could go that was windowless and away from the wind. Now, unfortunately, fewer people have those types of places. We do recommend that if someone wants to feel particularly safe, there are storm shelters that are certified by the National Storm Shelter Association, and there are actually FEMA grants that help people offset the cost of those.
A federal report finds the number of tornadoes rose dramatically over the past year. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, said there were 379 preliminary tornado reports in the first quarter of this year as compared to 154 twisters during the same period last year. The 20-year average for the first quarter is 144. In other news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports a Red Oak man was arrested Wednesday afternoon. The Sheriff's Office took into custody 54-year-old Charles Netherton of Red Oak on a harassment charge. Netherton was brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where he later posted bond and was released. The Atlantic Police Department said yesterday there were no injuries following an accident in Atlantic Wednesday evening. A vehicle driven by Patty Hoig of Atlantic was traveling north on Olive Street at around 6:35 p.m. when a vehicle driven by Eric Renner of Atlantic backed out of a driveway and collided with Hoig's vehicle. The accident happened in the 2500 block of Olive Street. Damage amounted to $2,000. There were no citations issued. The Iowa Department of Transportation, in coordination with the Federal Railroad Administration and Illinois Department of Transportation, will be hosting both in-person and online self-directed open house meetings May the 1st through the 12th in connection with the Chicago to Omaha Regional Passenger Rail System Planning Study. The open house meetings are intended to illustrate various route alternatives, explain the process used to evaluate those alternatives, discuss results of the alternatives analysis, and gain public input on the route alternatives. The online self-directed open house meeting and route alternatives analysis report will be available May the 1st through the 12th on the website, which you can find on our website at kjan.com, right under the same story. The in-person open house meetings will be held in Des Moines on Wednesday, May the 2nd from 4 until 7 p.m. at the State Historical Society of Iowa building on East Locust Street, and in Council Bluffs on Thursday, May 3rd, also from 4 until 7 p.m., and that'll be at the Mid-America Center, rooms E and F, at One Arena Way. Tamara Nicholson, director of the Iowa DOT's Office of Rail Transportation, says findings from the route alternatives analysis will be presented at an in-person and online public meetings, and each meeting will contain the same information. The route alternatives analysis report will be available on the study's website. Comments on the document can be provided on that website as well, or at any of the in-person open house meetings. All comments submitted online, by mail, phone message, or in person will be accepted until May the 21st. For those without internet access, all meeting materials, including a comment form, can be requested by calling 800-488-7119. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the days of government payments to grow corn and soybeans are numbered due to record farm income and budget constraints. Vilsack says direct commodity payments will be axed when Congress approves the next farm bill. The former Iowa governor and other White House officials are at the Hawkeye Community College, or were at the Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo on Thursday, to talk about the Obama administration's efforts to spur economic development. The focus was on improving rural economies by training and retraining workers for in-demand jobs. Vilsack is optimistic lawmakers will come up with a plan to provide a safety net for farmers, protect the environment, and continue to provide food assistance to those in need. The current farm bill, by the way, expires in September. Republican Governor Terry Branstad uses the word significant to describe the pending property tax deal between Republicans and Democrats in the legislature.
This is something that, you know, has been needed for 30 years, and I think this is the year that it needs to happen.
The governor and legislative leaders are reluctant to reveal the entire plan to the public, but indicated on Thursday that it would provide $250 million in commercial property tax relief over the next several years. According to the governor, residential property owners will be helped by the plan as well. Without action, property taxes on homes would climb because those are linked to the value of farmland.
We've tried to work something out that hopefully will be able to get broad-based support.
One component of the plan will deal with a tax-related issue in the telecommunications industry, as well as deciding how much the state will reimburse local governments to cover property tax credits. Other details are still being hammered out, according to the governor.
I'm encouraged about it. It's not everything we'd want, but I think it's a very significant step.
On Thursday, the top two partisan leaders in the legislature indicated an agreement on property tax reform is much closer than ever before. And Governor Branstad has signed into law a package of tax incentives designed to spur development of a $38 million youth baseball center at the Dyersville site where Field of Dreams was filmed. The measure Branstad signed Thursday allows developers of the project to get a rebate on sales taxes collected on merchandise and attendance for 10 years. That's an incentive worth an estimated $16 million. The tax break was a key part of the plans for the 193-acre project. It will include 24 baseball and softball diamonds, an indoor training facility, and lodging for teams that would travel to the site from across the country. Backers predict the complex could draw 60,000 visitors a year and could create hundreds of jobs. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman is appearing in Florida court this morning to ask that he be released on bail while he awaits trial for the shooting of 17-year-old Trevon Martin. Zimmerman's attorney says if bail is granted, he'll ask that his client be allowed to leave the area because he's concerned about his safety. Zimmerman has said he fired in self-defense. An Afghan official says a U.S. Army chopper crashed in bad weather as it was responding to a suicide attack at a local police checkpoint. U.S. military confirms that the Army Black Hawk crashed last night while on a nighttime mission, and initial reports indicate up to four soldiers may have been killed. Authorities in New York City are spending a second day today searching for the remains of one of the first children to have his image on a milk carton. 6-year-old Eitan Pates disappeared while on his way to school 33 years ago. Forensic teams are tearing up a basement in a building near where the child lived. And Maryland's governor is considering signing legislation that will make his state the first to ban employers from demanding access to the social networking accounts of their employees or job applicants. The measure, which has already passed the state legislature, would keep managers from snooping on password-protected content. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, E.J. Conrad, age 92, of Harlan, died February 20th. Burial and graveside services for E.J. Conrad will be today at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 98-year-old Nina Mickelson of Orient died Monday at Corning Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of life services for Nina Mickelson will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Orient. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Terrence Allen, age 74, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. A memorial visitation for Terrence Allen will be on this evening from 5 until 7 at the reconvened funeral home in Oakland. Geneva Schreck, age 84, of Coon Rapids, died April 13th. Funeral services for Geneva Schreck will be held this evening at 6:30 at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Louis Lauritsen, age 88, formerly of Audubon, died December 19th in New Mexico. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Louis Lauritsen will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Doris Betty Bruck, age 88, of Avoca, died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Massive Christian burial service for Betty Bruck will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Defiance. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Byron Jensen, age 78, of Harlan, died April 13th at Murtu Medical Center. Funeral services for Byron Jensen will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Rolf Steerly, age 74, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Rolf Steerly will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. David Nelson, age 75, of Atlantic, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for David Nelson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Dennis Reha, age 70, of Adair, died Thursday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Services for Dennis Reha are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Lois Gross, age 82, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at her sister's home in Edina, Minnesota. Funeral services for Lois Gross are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Dean Cooper, age 82, of Greenfield, died this morning at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Dean Cooper are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.